From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us. And we're joined by Jane Lee from God's Heart and Hands Ministry.
Good morning.
Instagram at Pro-Life Hearts.
Yes, the Lord is expanding our work of talking about the influence of mothers
in
society.
What does that mean? Instagram, my kids called my mom Graham. Everybody has a, you know, there's Nana.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I've taken to that.
It was just, they just called her Graham.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
Instagram would be somebody who maybe filled in like for grandma, an there, Instagram.
Wow, you're making a
Maybe you could even rent a grandma. Instagram, you know? Need a grandma for a birthday party?
Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Mary Poppins.
So but what is really Instagram?
That would be a great application of social media.
Yeah.
And actually, it's kind of what's going on is because of our extended families being further away, our families being overly busy and distracted, social media kind of does step in for
a
grandparents.
It just pops up like,
that's right,
just
it
add
does.
Water. Instagram.
Well, they do have input to our kids. We really need to think about it. It's like having a grandparent,
boy.
A stranger grandparent come on
in. I don't know how
in.
Many times I'm watching after a basketball game or a football game or something on TV, and they bring the kid aside, and he says, I want to thank my grandma.
Yeah.
So often
yes.
you hear that.
Yes.
You know, and grandpas too, but you don't hear it. It's so many grandmas. And grandpas have a day-to-day role in the life of young kids.
And how strong those families are for having extended. Or if a neighbor turns out to be a grandma.
Yeah.
Part of the work, one of the points of God's Heart and Hands, is that every woman is a mother, whether you've had your own biological children or not, in your home or not, foster children, stepchildren, and so on. Every woman is a mother to every child.
Yeah.
And and I've had women say to me, oh, no, I didn't have my own children. I'm not a mother. Wait, no, look at where God has called you to be a mother, to be that maternal place. Or grandmother. And isn't it interesting we give the word grand? That's like, that's a place of raising up, of saying that you have experience. In fact, I was, because I'm a private math tutor, I was in a home where the 13-year-old was giving dad some lip, you know, and about something dad had told them, this isn't a good idea for you to do. And the kid was just, as only they can do, it's like playing tennis, but they've got two rackets, you know, and they're batting everything back. And I finally looked at him and said, you know, God sent your dad here 30 years before you got here for good reason, to gain wisdom and experience in order to guide you.
Right.
And that's really true. It's a grand experience, and we need to acknowledge that and pay attention to it.
In the old days, too, you saw it a lot more where people weren't as mobile.
Yes.
You know, they tend to grow up and stay in the communities they grew up in, and you'd have generations sometimes living together.
Yes,
and
that heritage.
Yeah.
That heritage. And that means a lot to a child. It helps parents out quite a bit. Parenting in this generation is probably the most extreme demanding. We think at times going back that when we were more of an agrarian society and there was more physical work involved, that was hard. No, but you had exactly what you were talking about.
Well, I know when my mom would put her foot down, which wasn't very often. She was kind of the indulging grandma, was, you know, baked cookies and just loved the grandkids. But when she put her foot down, boy, they didn't mess with grandma.
That size six made quite an impression. And that's really true.
They knew that okay, if Graham says that's wrong, it's wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's a great, I would almost call it a splintering or untethering of the influence that parents have because of the Instagram coming in saying, oh, no, you can do this. You should do this.
Right.
Teenagers saying, I've got rights. I can do this. I know when my daughter was 18, she turned 18 before graduating high school. All of a sudden, she wasn't going to high school. So I called the school and said, at some point, you know, does the state not get concerned? And they were quite concerned until they saw her birthday. And they said, she's 18. There's absolutely nothing we can do.
Whatever she wants to.
Great. But then I heard of another county where the school said, it doesn't matter if you're 18. You're still in high school. We still have authority over you. That was the backing of parents. That was, and so in the other, where she was, they were just, no, we're not backing you up. We're not stepping into that. Wow, we really need it because we are splintering parenthood one small twig at a time.
Yep.
And it's affecting us. We're seeing it. And that's why part of the work of God's Heart and Hands is to remind moms, you don't need society to tell you you're doing a good job. or this is right, or you don't need that. It's turn back to how God designed it. That is the ultimate, because that is the wisest.
Yeah.
And that is, and we know it. We see it. Kids that don't have that presence, that influence in a neighborhood, you can see who's got whose parents are present for that, or some that are just letting them make their own choices, handing them their lives as soon as they get an iPhone. Oh, you can handle your life. You can do this. Here's a credit card. You can order your food, whatever. It affects them, and we see it longer term.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Well, the family, God gave us a family for a reason. You know,
there is such wisdom in that.
Yeah.
But and, we know, tend to not think of that.
Even in the Bible, it talks about the child growing up and going away and having their own family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you leave the you don't ever leave the family. You're mm-hmm. always part of that family, but you form your own family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know some people have that they almost have trouble with that concept as they're growing up. It's like, well, gosh, if I get married and start my own family, does that mean I'm leaving mm-hmm. my family?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in some ways it does, but you never leave your own family.
No, that's true. That's true. And that's the perspective that what you're talking about is that that's what we give our children. We need to give them that bigger picture. And that's part of the role of parenthood, too, is to give them that bigger picture. You will form your own family, but you're always part of this. Likewise, you're always part of God's family. No matter what you do, you may think you're separate, or you think you may do something that doesn't allow you to be part of God's family, you know, whatever it may be, something pretty big. And I was listening to Catholic radio this morning. They were talking about abortion and that recovery afterwards for the woman, for the soul, for the reconciling with God,
right,
and feeling like so many women do, oh, I'm not worthy anymore. And one woman's story of going into confession, and it took her a couple of hours to work up the strength to go mm-hmm. in there. And then when she did and confessed it, the floodgates of mercy that she felt mm-hmm. open up and heal her, and giving testimony to that, and then experiencing being shunned by other people when she did give her testimony on it.
Yeah.
And isn't that fascinating that we then still, again, we're holding up our opinion above God's? And same thing with the families and what society is doing and bringing to the kids. Oh, you have more independence. Now that you're 18, you can now handle all your own medical decisions and kick your parents out of the, whether it's out of the doctor's office or ER.
Sure.
Wait, you know, you're going to talk to her about things she has no idea and can make a decision about. And yet you're telling her that she can have me step out, which naturally I got this sense of authority, but yet they don't have the wisdom behind it. And so yet it's another place where mother's coming back to the table, so to speak. The motherhood is a job, has influence, and is so crucial because the kids turn to someone. And that's how and just because we're saying in the last 20, 25 years, oh, parents, you have a place and it's separate. You know, if your girl's a certain age, she can go and get an abortion.
Well, you don't even have to be 18. As the law is written now, you go into the office and mm-hmm. say, I need to leave school for a confidential medical appointment.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot say no. They cannot call mom and dad. And it is actually, I remember discussing this with somebody in the schools, the public schools, mm-hmm. that were, you know, even the vast majority of Catholic kids are in public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And discussing it with someone who said, well, you know, medical appointments need to be confidential. And I said, yes, I understand that. But confidential from the parents? I mean... So mm-hmm. the parent comes to pick the kid up after school, and the kids come back from the medical appointment,
mm-hmm.
Either an abortion or maybe getting a prescription.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
You know,
yeah.
And or maybe got RU46
mm-hmm.
and now is going to have some medical issues at home.
Right.
And
yeah, they need care at home.
Exactly. And the doctor can't tell the parents. And we're not talking about 18. We're talking about 14.
Right.
And school can't tell the parents. And dad runs into the math teacher whose class the kid missed and says, oh, how'd Sally do on the math test today? Mm-hmm. And the math teacher has to basically lie. Even if he doesn't tell a lie, he's right. he's a lie.
A lie of omission.
If you try to mislead somebody, it's a lie. It doesn't matter. You don't answer the question or you deflect
it. Yes, you are.
It's a lie.
Right.
You know, you say, well, I didn't actually lie. Well, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You tried to convince them of something that wasn't true,
mm-hmm.
whether it was with their body language or whatever.
That's right.
And so the teacher's in the position of lying to the parent. The teacher can't tell the parent, well, actually, Sally missed the math exam.
Right.
Because she went to a confidential medical appointment. You might want to talk to her about that.
Right.
None of my business, but you might want to know that she was at a medical appointment. Nope, can't. The teacher's forbidden from saying that. And so the parent now has a kid coming home who maybe has ingested
mm-hmm.
pill one from RU-46.
Right.
And doesn't have a clue.
Right.
Or maybe has had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And is in her room going through whatever.
Right,
and the parent doesn't have a clue.
Exactly. And so
Wouldn't you, as a parent, even leave the morality out of it, mm-hmm. which is hard to do, but
it is.
Wouldn't you want to know if your child had had an abortion? Because mm-hmm. that's going to be something a parent needs to talk about with the child. Unfortunately, didn't talk about them enough. You weren't able to prevent it, but you still have to be there afterwards.
Yes, and
it's critical that you're there afterwards,
and you're forbidden from
knowing it unless the child tells you.
Right, and you need to be able to know if things are going awry, and you wouldn't even know to look for it, right?
Yeah.
And so any other medical procedure, they send them home with the instructions, and the doctors will typically ask, do you have someone at home to care for you?
Sure.
And the patient, an adult patient, has the maturity to ask, what are the side effects of which I need to come back in? When is this a risk? And then if the doctor's not telling you directly, they ask if there's someone else, support person, they can tell. So you're sending this youth home, obviously, with all of this in their head, trying to sort it out. And they don't know when is the bleeding become critical. So mom and dad go to bed thinking everything's fine. And, you know, we know how it can play out and so on. But stepping up one bigger picture, one step, if you will, we're doing this because of the small percentage of abortions that are due to an abusive situation mm-hmm. where we have to give, they feel that this young woman has gotten pregnant not of her own will, you know, incest, things like that. And it's an abusive environment. And if the parents know, she will be abused worse. So, yes, that's critical.
Cover story.
Right, that is.
But I don't believe they really feel that way. I think they don't want any foot in the door that might convince somebody not to get an abortion.
Yes.
They don't want Jane Lee or Bob Dunning talking to one of their kids and maybe actually, quote unquote, talking them out of an abortion.
Right.
And saying, hey, we'll love this kid. We'll help you. We're here. And there's this false notion that, well, if you have good communication in your family, the child will automatically tell you anyway.
Those people don't have children.
That's just nonsense.
They don't have children.
I can guarantee you, I knew growing up that my parents loved me unconditionally. They proved it a million times. And yet, had I ever been in that situation, which I feel lucky I wasn't, I'd have been mortified to tell them. Not because they're going to beat me or scream at me.
Right.
Because I don't want to disappoint them.
Right.
They have done so much for me. They love me so much. And now I'm going to go in and say, I really screwed up.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
And so this notion that, but they would want me to tell them, but I wouldn't want to tell them.
Just like a car accident or anything else
to
go. So when we went in dealing with people that are pushing for this, you know, no accountability, basically, for the youth to have an abortion, just do it without the parental guidance or knowledge, that we approach what they've said, which is, you know, they have a small percentage of coming from an abusive situation. And at the same time, we approach those, the bigger picture, which is, children need their parents, or they need an authority figure. They need help. And why is the medical profession taking this one exception? Of everywhere else in the world, you have any, not excuse me, on any other surgery where it's like that, there are protocols. Why is abortion an exception to the protocol?
Exactly.
And it is.
Well,
and,
our young son, who just turned 13, last Sunday had emergency appendectomy.
Oh, my.
Following in his dad's footsteps. Happened to me when I was 7.
Oh, my gosh.
But
wow.
Anyway, so we had probably the thing that took the longest in prepping him for surgery was all the forms we had to sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the waivers, all the understand about,
all the what ifs.
Yeah.
Truly the what
the
ifs.
Anesthesiologist came in and talked to us. Do you have any questions? Do you have any concerns?
And how old is your son when he had
13.
This?
13. Just happened.
So in a year from now, he could, comparing it to an abortion, not have to have you in the room.
It's not even 14 with the abortion. It could be 12.
Oh, could it? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. It's not. There's not an age on it. It's any child that goes into the and says,
"I
need to leave for a confidential medical
appointment." Okay. So could your son have understood those medical forms and the what ifs?
And then, of course, it was up to us. You know. You can take him home. You spend the night. He's in a tremendous amount of pain before the surgery, which is why you know it's an appendectomy.
Uh-huh.
One of the reasons. Now they do scans and stuff to prove it. But can we give him a small amount of morphine? Can we give him this? This is what we recommend, but it's up to you to decide.
Right.
You're the parents.
Right.
Plus, you know him a lot better than we know him. You know what he can handle, what he can't handle, that sort of thing. And then when he gets sent home, you know, no school for a week. Don't send him to school. He's going to be sore. He's going to be this. Don't let him lift. Don't let him, because he's, you know, had probes going in his body.
Right.
You know? And muscle tissue probably torn by the probes and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not huge. It's laparoscopic these days. It's not,
right.
With me, it was, you know, they cut you open.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, and when I had it, they didn't have anesthesia. They hit you over the head with a baseball bat, you know.
Gave you a leather strap to chew on. You're good to go.
And, but, you know, all these things. And then with PE, no, he shouldn't do PE for a couple of weeks. And, you know, and he's on the track team. No, he probably shouldn't run very much. You know, maybe a light jog. You know, all these stuff. But if it'd been an abortion, they would not have even talked to us.
Right. And it'll be really curious.
You know, your daughter had an abortion. Now, here's the possible. Your daughter's going to have an abortion.
Right.
Here's the possible complications. Do you have any concerns?
Right.
You know, and here's the possible side effects afterwards.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there may be some emotional stuff. We've seen that sometimes.
Right.
There may be some physical problems. There could be some complications. Nope, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Completely forbidden.
Right.
It's just bizarre.
It is. It's a total conflict. It doesn't make sense. And it is bizarre because it is. I mean, we're not saying, oh, because it's abortion, it's bizarre. No, any kind of procedure. So it'll be really fascinating when your son heals and kind of recovers from this. Let him see all that paperwork that they gave you copies of and saying, this is, you know, read through it.
Yeah.
And this is what a 14-year-old is going to be expected to know. And when you were describing that, the image came to my mind of an ambulance leaving the abortion clinic here in Sacramento not too long ago because the abortion did not go well.
Right.
And at that point, yes, there's a doctor in the room. They can figure, okay, it's out of control. We need to transport to ER. However, later it can happen. So we're sending home, the proverbial she is okay for the first however long they're watching, and then they send home.
Yeah, we'll
send her home, and then a problem happens. No, she is completely.
And with RU46, there is not a doctor makes the prescription, but there's no doctor present when you're going through.
That's
it.
True.
You're home.
And if they, what is it, a third of the time or so, they've had incidents where the woman says, "No, I want to fix this. I don't want to go through with this," and they can reverse it if only the first pill's been taken.
Yeah, there's a a couple of doctors, one in San Diego, I think Delgado, I think his name is, that, mm-hmm. that kind of pioneered it. And yeah, there are instances where they have saved it, but try to get any medical information out of that I'd like to reverse this out of anybody, unless right. you know the number to call.
Right.
That's on your side.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
That agrees with what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You call where it happened, and they just tell you, oh, you know, that's...
Right.
First off, they tell you it's impossible.
Right, that you can't do it. They'll just tell them outright.
Or I actually saw a story about it, about the reversal process. And a quote-unquote unbiased story. We're just going to... It's just, mm-hmm. just a news story on the front page of a newspaper, you know, and sort of in-depth, and they quote people on both sides of the issue and stuff. And the on the pro-abortion side, the one, I mean, it's comical, except it's not comical.
Yes,
said
I understand.
That, well, the real problem here in trying to reverse it is it could be harmful to the child. And you're, yeah, it's comical,
but
it's not
comical. They
call it a child, but they also were worried that it would be harmful to the child. So go ahead and keep taking RU-46, which last time I checked is also harmful to the child.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely, 100%, right?
So yeah.
It's a complex situation with many pieces to it. And so in stepping back and trying to, if you will, redirect, turn the Titanic around, we do it one degree at a time. We do it one piece at a time. And so just taking this situation of an underaged young woman, a pregnant woman, a pregnant teen, pregnant girl, having to sort through all this medical information, just that one piece of all the decisions that need to be made, all the information, terminology they don't understand, they've never been exposed to. They go to the if they have their wisdom teeth pulled out, there's a lot of information given because there's anesthesia
yeah, sure.
and so on, which I understand in abortion it's not there. But the point
and
is...
And then painkillers that with
right.
drug addiction, they say with teenagers, they get mm-hmm. hooked on drugs. It's very frequently from dental procedures.
Yes,
that's where it started.
Right. And so now you've also, so and it's not just us saying so. It's not just us saying, you know, this is not blah, blah, blah. It's already played out.
Sure.
It's playing out in crisis. It's played out that this is not. And people are coming forward and talking about it, and there's medical emergencies. So the piece is, yes, there's the bigger picture. We need to turn the Titanic around. So when the work of God's heart and hands is bringing it back to the mother, bringing it back to the kitchen table, to the nightly dinners. It's bringing it back to that. How do we manage that? How do we talk to the kids, make them feel how, and it's not easy. And that's why God is at the center of it. And it's a thing a lot of parents grapple with. How much do I, not just how much do I tell them, but how much do I probe in their life? You want them to have independence to make their decisions. But like you said, you don't want to come home with something and tell your parents that you're going to be, that they're going to be disappointed in. And it's a tricky path to navigate. And since God sent us here roughly 25, 30 years before the kids came, and we can pray about it, we can have the wisdom. He can bless us with the wisdom and the guidance and the grace so that we know, so we just catch on something's going on. Because it's not just, it's before the child, the young girl comes home after having the abortion or taking the first pill. They're acting odd beforehand. They're overloaded. They're overwhelmed. They're scared. And it goes back before then to, what is the parents' view of it? What is the parents' participation? Where's their place in it? Other stories come about because kids will, okay, test things out in different ways. What did you think about this? You know, oh,
well,
I heard
really,
this.
The really, really sad thing is, and it's the other thing that, you know, we don't have parental notification in California. We've failed at the ballot box two or three times now mm-hmm. to the point where, as far as I know, people aren't even trying anymore to get petitions and
uh-huh.
get it on the ballot. And yet, in states that do have parental notification laws, it has dramatically affected the abortion rate. But this notion that we shouldn't tell the parents because then they're going to be, like you say, hard-handed
right.
and abuse
judgment,
the child
yes.
and all
oh,
that
yes.
is false. And unfortunately, the idea for an abortion frequently comes from the parents. I mean, there's no way around it. It frequently comes from the parents.
Interesting.
Kid isn't trying to hide it from the parents. Might nowadays not trying to hide it at all. Mm-hmm. You know, telling their friends, telling everybody, yeah, I had an abortion. Speaking at a rally, you know.
Wow.
Kids don't do that, but right. other people do.
Right.
I had an abortion, and I'm proud of it. You hear that.
Right.
And it's the parents going, oh, man, you've got a scholarship to Cal Poly.
Right.
You can't have a baby, you know, because colleges, they don't make accommodations for.
Right. So that's another piece.
And it's the parents saying, well, I don't want everybody to look at us like we got two heads, you know.
Right.
You know, just go get the abortion and forget about it and move on, mm-hmm. you know.
And that's another piece to be dealt with. And that's where I think that it's a very complex issue. And there's a lot of reasons and a lot of situations. So taking that, change a couple letters in that word and adoption. You're right. You've got your scholarship. So let's have this baby, give it life. And if we trust enough, if we know enough that God loves us, can we trust God that this child, this person needs to be in the world right now? And we should consider that God's wisdom, he has the ultimate big picture. This is a person coming into the world. This is just not a baby.
You have to believe. There's two parts of it. You have to believe in God, and you have to believe that God has a purpose for every life, and you have
yes.
to believe the part that always strikes me from Jeremiah, you know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
You go, okay, this isn't what I planned, and it's not very convenient, and actually it's ruining my life.
Right.
But I can't second guess God. Mm-hmm. Without that, it's like, honey, you've gone to basketball camp your whole life, and now you just made the varsity, and you can't play pregnant. I hear parents saying that.
Yes.
You know?
Have you been in those conversations?
I've heard it from
yes.
friends of friends, you know, that kind of stuff.
And
it's like, you worked your whole life to be on the varsity basketball team in high school, and now it happened, and now this.
Right, and so what I'm hearing is that the parents are as panicked as the kid. We thought this, we scripted this.
Both the parents have their own reputation and standing
yes.
in the community and all that.
We're scripting.
Yeah.
Scripting. We're scripting the child's life, and
yeah.
it's absolutely true, and every one of those sentences began with you
yeah.
or we, and that's absolutely true. Let's validate your feelings are real.
I mean, yesterday I got asked to MC a talent show at a nursery school, their annual talent show. And it's a nursery school where, let's see, five of my six children went through this nursery school,
uh-huh.
preschool, and two granddaughters have gone through this school.
Oh, my gosh.
So seven from our family have
uh-huh.
gone through this, and all seven were there.
Oh my gosh!
The ones who were older, they didn't want to miss it because they wanted to see the younger ones. It was the final grandchild. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
But this was, she's going to be five, and so she's moving on,
uh-huh.
you know, to kindergarten. There are a couple of levels here. One age was all the way down to two, the toddler class.
Oh.
And you know, they get up, I'm going to sing, you know, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Uh-huh.
And they get up there, and mom or dad comes on the stage with them, and then the kid kind of buries their head, and then
uh-huh.
some of them panic and just don't do anything. Some
uh-huh.
of them mouth a few words,
aww.
You know. But to see the parents taking pictures, taking videos, just trying to mouth the word for
uh-huh.
the kid, just to see all of them and how much that child is just their everything,
mm-hmm.
and to see how much they love them. And if you could just throughout life take that kid back to there and say, let's film mom and dad filming you. Let's show you
right.
how much your mom and dad love you. They just really wanted you to be able to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. You
uh-huh.
know, that's how important it was to them. You know?
Yes.
And it really, you know, it was a magic moment for me. You know, it was
mm-hmm.
like, I'm sure people in that room were all over the map on political issues and moral issues and everything else. But boy, they were universal in how much they loved their kids.
That's true. And as they say, we have more in common than we do in difference. And I imagine at that age, and seeing it, you could see the God's gift in them already showing up.
Yeah. And
and what they could do.
Yeah. It was the one thing I did have to do, though, I had to go over with the preschool teacher, was pronunciation of first names.
Oh, it's my goodness. It's kind of changed quite a bit.
These days, kids have. How do you pronounce EMI?
I would think ME.
EMI.
Oh, my gosh.
MI. You know, I mean, it's just three letters. And I've,
Oh, wow. And you don't want to blow it, do you?
Yeah.
You want those
and I have an ME in my family,
right.
but not spelled that way.
Yes.
You know, so.
Oh, my gosh. Big job you did there in
big
the preschool.
Job. Big
yes.
job. I butchered a few names. And you don't want, it's their child. It's
you want, you do
it's
want.
A name
we do that
picked,
for
man. You really want to get it right.
You do, for them to hear that.
We're with Jane Lee, God's Heart Enhanced Ministry. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. You can drop by and shop at their thrift store, 2275 Watt Avenue. It's open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, furniture, appliances, clothing, books, and everyday household items. You can give them a call, 916-972-1212. We'd also like to thank the kind and dedicated folks at Associated Sound for all their help in keeping all our equipment running with their excellent sound assistant and technical expertise. When it comes to sound, Associated Sound is the only name you need to know. Give them a call. They're at 916-649-8040 or go online at associatedsound.com. Well, located in Citrus Heights, Christ the King has served Northern California in the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years. Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King as the jewel of the diocese, a wonderful retreat center. They have parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. You can give them a call, 916-725-4720. That's 916-725-4720. Or visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell, Director of Trinity Pines Catholic Center. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thanks, Jennifer. And, more than s'mores, Jennifer's a big event for Camp Pendola is coming up on the 28th. Go to pendola.org and learn all about more than s'mores. They're wonderful fundraiser so that kids can go to Camp Pendola, the wonderful Catholic camp up in the Sierra Nevada foothills in the summer. So Pendola, PENDOLA.org, and their great fundraiser, More Than S'mores, coming up on the 28th of April. We're with Jane Lee, God's Heart and Hands Ministry. Jane, Psalms 105, you always give us these wonderful, you're just a Bible quoter.
Well, thank you.
Do they call him a Bible thumper?
The Bible thumper. Yeah. I don't even know what to say to that. But it's kind of like a user's manual.
It is a user's manual.
Bible is a user's manual for life.
And if the Bible's too complicated for you, read the Catechism, because it's just a wonderful book. People say, Catholics, you just got told to do this, and that's why you do it, because the authorities told you to do it. And
oh, boy.
And you read the Catechism, and it says, okay, thou shalt not kill.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go through that. And then it goes through it.
It
gives the biblical sites, and it says, this is why we are against this. This is why we're in favor of this. This is why we have a just war doctrine, if you will. This is why the bishops generally oppose capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we, although that's not set in stone, but they quote John Paul II, who says in modern society, basically, it's virtually the situations where it can be justified are almost non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
It's why we oppose abortion. It's why we oppose assisted suicide. And then let's go through this part of our teaching. And this is why we believe this. This is why we have the Mass the way we do. Mm-hmm. This is why we believe that Jesus is really present in the Eucharist. It's all laid out for you.
Right.
You know, it's beautifully written in its very common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, oh, no, we just had a convention one day and made up all these rules, you know.
Right.
It's not right. about rules. It's about natural law. It's about common sense. It's mm-hmm. about faith, and it's about following the Word of God.
And interesting.
It's a wonderful, wonderful book. I refer to it all the time.
It helps. It really does. And I think we should do more bumper stickers of Proverbs
and
Psalms.
And it's authentic teaching. It's not just, well, this is just the
right.
opinion of a few people who wrote this book. I don't have to pay attention. I can look at it, but I don't have to believe it.
And it's interesting. A lot of those statements that you're saying, the rebuttal statements, are all beginning with I. And in the beginning you said, you know, you all do that because somebody told you to do it. Interesting. That's how our society is set up. Our political system is set up. We bring people in, we elect them, and then we depend on them to interpret the bigger picture for us, the global picture, the trade situation,
yeah.
the defense situation, and so on. We depend on their expertise to interpret and then communicate with us and so on. And so we pick the ones that we believe are going to do it. Same way about we respect the authority of the police. They pull us over, they put that light on, a rearview mirror, we listen, and so on. We're set up that way in society. Yet we're also splintering it by saying, well, I don't want to, well, I don't agree, I.
Right.
And getting back to the earlier part when we were talking about abortion, the first thing that comes in is I don't want this right now. This doesn't fit with mine. I'm planning on a scholarship.
Right.
I'm planning on I. And so we're not even doing the same thing in our lives. Like we're coming against the Catholic religion about, oh, I don't want to do that, and I don't think. When the bigger picture, we've depended on those of wisdom and
yeah.
experience to interpret and create a system for us that does interpret it well, that we then can grow closer to God and live our lives in a healthy way in all ways possible. So we're doing the same thing politically
yeah.
in our political system and in our authority system. We've got authority every different way. If you're going to put a boat in the ocean, there's rules you have to follow. There's classifications and so on.
Well,
you can drive on the road. Same
it's
thing.
Why, like you take the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, which is an organization representing virtually every bishop in the United States. They don't have papal authority to say this is, you know. But they take stands on all sorts of mm-hmm. issues, which makes me really proud to be Catholic. And people say, well, yeah, but that's you don't have to, you know, it's not church law, you know. I say, yeah, but okay, 200, 300 bishops at you know, and they're mm-hmm. all on different committees, you know, dealing uh-huh. with immigration, dealing with economic justice, dealing with death penalty, dealing with abortion, dealing with life issues, dealing with all range of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dealing with, you know, foreign relations and et cetera, dealing with health care.
Mm-hmm.
They have a position on everything. And I say, you know, you have 300 bishops who've devoted their lives. I mean, they were all priests first.
Right.
And then, you know, they eventually became bishops on merit.
Mm-hmm.
If those people who are 24/7 for God got together and said, okay, this is how we feel about economic justice.
Mm-hmm.
And here's our document on economic justice. I owe them the deference to at least read it with a very open mind
mm-hmm.
and say, these people know the faith 10 times better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
They know the history of the church a million times better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
They know the mind of God way better than I do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you just say, okay, whatever you say goes.
Right.
But by golly, I owe them the deference to say, okay, I want to know why you have this What is our position on just war? What is our position mm-hmm. on economic justice? What is our position on the immigration issue, which is just raging mm-hmm. in our society and has been for a number of years now? Mm-hmm. What is your position? And where are the biblical citations? Where is the church history? Where's the mm-hmm. you guys know it. I owe them the deference to read it with a very open mind and almost like you know, somebody sitting at the feet of the wise men, you know,
right,
saying,
right.
Okay, I haven't just checked my mind out here. I haven't checked out my free will, but you've lived a long time, wise man.
Right.
You're going to tell me, or even going to a doctor. You go to a doctor.
Yes.
And he said, okay, this is what we do. Like my son. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to fall asleep involuntarily. I don't want somebody to give me anesthesia.
Right.
Well, it's going to really hurt if we don't.
Right.
You know. And this is. We've developed this over centuries, this
right.
anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy went to medical school for 8 years to learn how to do.
And we can depend on his wisdom and knowledge.
Exactly.
Right.
And, yeah, you don't have to believe it, and you don't even have to have your appendix out, you know?
Right.
You've got free will here.
That's right.
But at some point, you know, and it's the same way. These are the wise men of the church.
Right, and you'd be saying to your son, you don't...
These are the doctors of the church, if you will.
Right.
They aren't all doctors. I mean, we actually have a formal title, doctor of the church, but
mm-hmm.
they are the doctors of the church. They've studied it. They understand it in a way I don't.
Right, so we can depend on them. We can look to them to do the job that we don't have enough time to do, but much like our doctors. You went to medical school, I can depend on you to allow you to put me to sleep to do the surgery and so on. So, and also we have to look at what's their ultimate goal. It's not to lead us astray.
No.
It's not to control us and have...
Exactly.
You know, it's not... It is to bring us closer to God. And
exactly.
they are in the world dynamically and bridging, if you will, to all of these things that we are facing that we were not facing 50 years
right.
ago, with the immigration as being the one example. Right. And they're interpreting us and guiding us so that we can live the best life that we can.
Yeah.
And so like your son, all those worries, okay, we have those worries. And whether you're in the Catholic Church and you have those worries and you're on the outside, or you're on the outside and you're judging it all, saying, well, you all are just selling your mind to them and following them dogmatically. No, look a little closer. Come over and look at the world through my eyes before you make that. You're looking on the outside.
I mean, I look here at we broadcast from the Pastoral Center, which
mm-hmm.
is the headquarters of the Diocese of Sacramento, right on Broadway here in Sacramento. And I look at all the different ministries. We have a deaf ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Black Catholic Conference.
Uh-huh.
We have Catholic Charities and Social Concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't just make those up out of thin air.
Right.
They decided that there's a need in society. We have a Respect Life ministry. We have youth and young adult ministries. That there's a need in society. And this is what we believe as a church. We believe
mm-hmm.
in taking care of our fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in supporting loaves and fishes. We believe in supporting the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services and all the work they do with immigrants and feeding hungry people and
mm-hmm.
all the things, you know, English language lessons,
mm-hmm.
Paths to citizenship. We believe in those things. We're not just having these different ministries out of the blue.
Right.
We
There's a need
Catholics
and we're responding.
Believe in these things. And that's sort of on a very local level, an expression of our faith, all these different ministries. We
right.
don't approve them. We don't have a ministry to rob banks.
Right.
You know, we have ministries to help people.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And we have an awesome office of worship with James Kavanaugh to
uh-huh.
to really explain the faith, to hold workshops explaining
mm-hmm.
the faith, explaining the Mass. This is why we do things the way we do it. You know, it's makes me proud to be Catholic.
Uh-huh. And that's what Jesus called us to, is to be out with the people. And that's what he did most, right, was being out with people to help them, to administer them, I guess is the right way to say it, to be with them, to guide them. And so talking about the bishops and that there is this perception in the greater even Christian community of this, you've got this authority and you're following them dogmatically and they're, how do you want to say it? They're doing for us what God is guiding them to do.
Yep.
And if we look deeper, what is their ultimate goal? So then when we look at, when we're talking about abortion, what is their ultimate goal? And that's part of the work of Pro-Life Hearts is putting a different language to this, is mm-hmm. that broadening the term abortion, which is a very emotionally charged term, and it, people will just shut down or fire off once they hear it, is that it's a rejection of a person. It's a rejection of a solution for society. You know, I bet that the Social Security administration would love to have the other 60 million people that would be paying into Social Security right now. How different
right.
the federal budget would be having that taken care of. Toys R Us is going bankrupt. They just don't have enough customers. We're starting to see. So we have to, we're bringing a new language to it and looking at it as a story that's coming. And when you pluck a sapling for an oak tree from the ground, that's not an oak tree. It's an acorn with a little mm-hmm. seedling coming out of it. That we can't call that an oak tree from any stretch of the imagination. But when we take it out of the ground, that process is stopped. So getting to bringing the that kind of ideology, if you will, or perspective rather, to abortion, if you're going to, I'm going to go right into the heart of it, the clump of cells, okay, all the debates aside, when you remove those even most basic two cells, if you get to them that fast, which they don't, yeah. you're stopping the process.
Period.
And yeah. with that person came a solution. We have a pod or an island of plastic in the ocean the size of the state of Texas. Perhaps 30 years ago, that idea was going to come through with half a dozen people that were going to be the team with the ideas. It's just a perspective. Because when an unplanned pregnancy, when that woman is going through that and panicking and crisis, how's this going to work and so on, we have to broaden the picture and say it's just not you. There is a God is bringing this for a reason for society. What can we do to support you and so on? So, and jumping into the fire, which I tend to do probably a little too much, but jumping into the fire as far as you're saying her body, her choice, you know, on demand and without apology. Broaden the perspective. I hear what you're saying, but in the bigger perspective, we as society are bearing the effect of refusing in the mid 50 million people, which really generationally a significant portion would have had more children. They, you know, one aborted in the 70s would already be a grandparent. So we're coming up on 80, 90 million people that we don't have. And that's that many kindergartners, that many people to buy cars, to buy baseball mitts when they're little, to be doctors, nurses, all those things. That's the bigger picture. So while that is going on in the moment and we think it's two cells, that two cells will have a story mm-hmm. that will bring a contribution to our society in ways that we can't even script.
Yeah, and we don't know the mind of God. We don't know
right.
what God's plan for that person is.
And there is a plan. We know it.
Definitely a plan.
Right. Kindergarten teachers can tell you. They can see it in the children, which ones are going to, which ones lean which way and how they are. Like you're talking about the talent show, which kids are comfortable up there on a stage, who might even be an entertainer, is comfortable yeah. up there entertaining the crowd, which ones are really shy and want to sing. And it's all there. And anyone that's around children, even in a neighborhood, if you don't have children yourself, you just look out your living room window. You can see the personalities
yeah.
in the children, which ones are interactive, control things, which ones hold everybody to the rules, and so on. There's his own microcosm. And that's the bigger picture of abortion. And we need to educate ourselves, our women, our teenagers, and so on, that that's really what those two cells are all about in the beginning. Is a story, and there's something bigger than you. And this is the only way God can get solutions to the world, the people to bring them, is either through prayer or through people. And you need people to be doing the prayer to follow the inclination. Tutoring math, I see kids that are natural scientists, and I see kids that they can't memorize their way through it because they understand history and human dynamics and people, and they have a global picture of the world already when they're in high school. And they're going to bring something to the world that we can only figure out. We can only wait to see, can't figure out now, but they have this capacity that they can see all the different people and the personalities and the history and say, you know, if we did this and they saw this, perhaps this whole situation on the inner city gangs in Sacramento, 30 miles away, can shift if we bring this. Mm-hmm. And that's an idea. It's a person with an idea. And so we have to, it's a bigger kaleidoscope, if you will, just not two cells in one person's body.
Jane, you brought some great Bible quotes with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all you didn't bring a Bible. You brought some quotes, though.
I did. I bought a snack of the Bible, if you will, because for moms, we have so much on our plate that giving us another to-do item, more to be responsible for, is overloading. And different people can do different things. So the perspective is, for a moment, just this moment you're in right now, whether it's in car line, taking the kids to school, trying to fix dinner and everybody's crabby, trying to get to bed, trying to get out the door in the morning, which is a big one for everybody, getting out the door. Live the gospel just for a moment, just the moment you're in, live mm-hmm. the gospel. Not a big to-do list, not anything bigger than live the gospel where you're at and how you are in the moment. And that is something as simple as giving thanks to what's in this moment. Wow, they're not putting their shoes on very fast, Lord, but they've got 2 feet and they've got a personality, and I'm going to acknowledge that, and so on. And making known, wow, where did God show up in your life today, kids? This is where he showed up in mine, in the moment, at dinner, talking about the day. Where did God show up and help us today? And it's the Lord took care of us again, kids. The Lord got us through this difficulty. He got us, we weren't in that accident, but he brought us to it, and we were able to pray for those people. And that's living the gospel in a moment.
Yeah, you know, how did you know my kids have trouble getting their shoes on?
Because they go to school and they're kids.
I always say it's whether we're going to mass or school, I say, are you ready? I want everybody ready by.
Uh-huh.
And I am ready, Dad. And then I look, you know, like maybe they're eating breakfast uh-huh. or they're working on some homework or something. And I look under the table. and they're barefoot. And I said, you're not ready. Yes, I am. No, you're not. You're barefoot. Are you going to wear shoes to school today? You going to wear shoes to mass? And they go, well, yeah, I'm ready, except I don't have my shoes on. Well, then you're not ready. Okay. And then when it's time to go, you know, when it's all
chaos.
Dad, I just need to put on my shoes. Like, how unreasonable can you
right,
be?
Right.
Do you want me to go to school barefoot?
Right. It's turned. Yes, it comes around back
around
on you. Yes, that's true. And that's part of the thing too. Is children like telling them to be careful? They can't. Being careful to them means holding their plate right. They don't understand. It means hang on to the tree. Look for cars when you cross the street. It's a generic term. So be ready. Are you ready for school? Yes, because in their mind, being ready for school is their backpack packed. They literally, going back to the beginning of a minor having an abortion without an adult's perspective, they think they have a very tangible, pragmatic view. It is black and white. They cannot see the intangible, the what ifs. Right. Well, of course, Dad, I'm not going to go to school without my shoes. You know, and that silent, quiet eye roll. Well, of course, because in that moment, because they really can only hold, they have one space for one thing, right. And that's having their backpack pack. Well, of course I'm ready. Oh, well, the shoes come up when I get to the door.
I'm just brushing my teeth.
Yes.
Like, you told me to brush my teeth. Yeah, I told you to brush your teeth half an hour ago.
So going back to the work of Pro-Life Hearts is bringing the language to women, that your choice is absolutely your own. We have laws to protect you, but it started way before that pregnancy test had the plus sign on it.
Jane, always a pleasure.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
Thanks so much. The Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the good folks at the Catholic Store, located at 1928 Broadway in downtown Sacramento. It has articles for baptism, first communion, confirmation, ordinations, weddings, and much, much more, plus Bibles, books, holy cards, and a variety of gifts. Give them a call, 916-457-1000. 1970 or visit them at 1928 Broadway right here in Sacramento. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from the Knights of Columbus Todd Cabral Agency, which provides guaranteed wealth creation for your family and your passion while maintaining the highest ethical standards in the industry. The Knights of Columbus Insurance, keeping Father McGivney's promise alive by providing peace of mind to Catholic families since 1882. To find an agent in your area, call our good friend Todd Cabral. Todd is at 916-997-9999. Bishop Sauer is also pleased to have underwriting support from Catherine Fisher, LCSW, providing therapy and mental health services from a Catholic perspective. Catherine knows that our Catholic faith is interwoven into every aspect of our lives and relationships. She offers counseling for individuals, couples, and families. You can call her at 916-214-4623 or go to C. Fisher, LCSW, at CATHIMail.com.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love, and you can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation by calling 916-851-2700. Fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts is for all of us. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. Give them a call. They're at 916-338-7272 or drop on and visit them, 6916-6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Well, if you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to where you want to go. Details are available at Crumley & Associates. They're at 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks, or give them a call at 916-638-4600. We thank them for their longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. Underwriting is also provided to the Bishop's Hour by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call, 855-525-2285. We thank all the wonderful underwriters for the Bishop's Hour, and we hope you will support those who support us. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just. Crucified. death. Call me into life. And I was under your wrath. Now through the cross I'm reconciled.